Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, look with me at verse 2. Let me take just a minute to lay a small foundation or a foundation for the word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee." Oh, well, children of God don't suffer. "Suffered thee to hunger." In other words, God let them get hungry. Has anybody ever got hungry? Anybody ever, God let you get in a situation that you would have rather not been in? Huh? Let you experience some hardships? Let you fall down? You know? Suffered. You know, the Father doesn't enjoy seeing you suffer. But sometimes He'll let you. You know, sometimes a daddy don't like to look at the little baby and watch the little baby fall down. But as they start to learn to walk, sometimes you let them fall down on their backside. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you let them make a mistake. You've got to let them grow up. And he suffered them to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Oh, yeah. So now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to look at verse 15, and we'll read through verse 18. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For all things." Well, that's a very important word right there. All. A-double-L. What does that include? All things. Everything. He's talking, God is talking to his children. Not talking to everybody. How many understand that? This is not to everybody. This is to his children. He's talking to his people, the ones that have called him Father, accepted him. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," anybody ever had any affliction? "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I said a moment. Somebody snap your fingers. Come on. A moment. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen." Isn't that the scripture that's in our bulletin? "While we look not at the things which are seen, but that at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Oh, I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them right now, "Neighbor, it's just a temporary inconvenience." I want you to understand today, when we took up our text, we were reading about the children of Israel in the wilderness. And I want you to understand today that the wilderness was not supposed to be eternal. The wilderness was not supposed to last the children of Israel 40 years. We're told that by historians that they should have been able to make the journey to the promised land in about 11 days. And they crammed an 11-day journey into 40 years. I'm trying to help you understand today that this was supposed to be a temporary inconvenience. The word says that we look not at the things which are seen, Because the things which are seen are temporal. They are temporary. They are for a little while. They're for a short while. They're lasting only for a limited period of time. Oh my God. I came to tell somebody today that your situation, that your problem, that your test, that your struggle, that your difficulty, that your sickness, that the battle that you're fighting, it ain't gonna last always. It's a temporary inconvenience. I came to tell somebody what you're going through, it's not going to last forever. That emotional battle won't last forever. It's not eternal. Are you hearing me? That financial struggle, it's not eternal. That sickness is not eternal. That job that makes you miserable, it's not eternal. Is there anybody with me today? That problem that makes you cry and makes you weep in the middle of the night and makes you bury your head in your pillow, I came to tell you that it's not eternal. It's just a temporary inconvenience. That pain of betrayal, that pain of deception, I come to tell somebody it's not eternal. It's just a temporary inconvenience, and God is getting ready to turn it around. Look at your neighbor and say, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. I may be crying today, but I'll be smiling again. I may be broke today, but I'm going to have more than enough. I may be broke today. I may not be able to rub two nickels together today, but in just a little while I'm going to have so much money I'm not going to know what to do with it. I'm going to have to look for somebody to bless. I'm looking for somebody to bless. I'm going to have to give it away because it's just a temporary inconvenience. I may be in pain today, but healing's on its way. I may be walking today, but my ride's on its way. Somebody say, my ride's on its way. Yeah, my chariot of fire. Everybody knows Sister Marlene knows who I'm talking about. She got that chariot of fire out there. That red Cadillac. Well, just two doors down is our chariot of fire. Right next to Brother Jerry and Sister Carmen's chariot of fire. Yeah, I may be walking today, but my ride's on its way, my chariot of fire. I may be in Section 8 today, but I got my eye on a sweet little four-bedroom brick home with garage and a laundry room. I can do my laundry in my own house. Hallelujah. Yeah, I may be on food stamps and WICs and every other government assistance today, but it's just temporary. It's just a temporary inconvenience. Come on, tell somebody, it's just a temporary inconvenience. Yeah, just a temporary inconvenience. See, it's like when you get your water turned off. They say, you know, we're going to have to turn your water off because we got to fix the pipes. Well, I don't want you to turn my water off. Well, I know that, sir. I know that, ma'am. But the truth is, we can't fix the pipes if we don't turn the water off. So, they turn the water off. What is it? That's a temporary inconvenience. You know, if I thought that the water was never coming on again, I'd get worried. If I thought that the water was never coming on again, I'd be looking for someplace else. If I thought the water was never coming on again, I'd never get to take a bath again. I never get to get me a cold drink of water again. If I thought the water's never coming on again, I would start looking for some place different. But when I know it's just a temporary inconvenience, you know, I'm able to endure. When your internet service gets interrupted, anybody had your internet service interrupted? You go in there and you try to get online, and all of a sudden it won't let you online, and you call them up and you say, what's the problem? And they tell you that they're working on the line somewhere and they've got a problem somewhere, and you know it's just a temporary inconvenience. You know, when your phone service gets interrupted and it's just a temporary inconvenience. You're watching your favorite TV program as the stomach churns. And no, that's the wrong church. I'm sorry. You're watching your favorite TV program and all of a sudden it says technical difficulties. And your picture goes off and you're like, oh man, that was my favorite show. That was my favorite part. Because you've seen it 30 times. Yeah. But you know you're able to endure because you know that it's just a temporary inconvenience. Oh, yeah. And, you know, like maybe they shut off my lights because I can't pay my bill. I don't know if you've ever been there. You ever been there? You know, they threaten to kick you out because you can't pay your rent. You have to walk because you don't have gas money. Yeah, it's just a temporary inconvenience. I know it's not fun. I know you don't enjoy it, but it's a temporary inconvenience. Life, look at your neighbor, tell him life is full of temporary inconveniences. Nobody enjoys them. I don't enjoy interruptions in my service. Nobody enjoys those difficulties. Nobody enjoys those temporary inconveniences. But there is a positive side to it. See, there is a positive side to it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I don't want to go through them. But there's a positive side to it. The positive side is it sure makes me enjoy it when the service is restored. Oh, it sure makes me enjoy it when my phone service comes back on, when my lights come back on, when I'm able to drive wherever I want to drive, when I'm able to pay all my bills and able to bless the work of God and able to sow into the kingdom. It sure makes me feel good. I came to tell you that the wilderness was never supposed to be fun. They weren't supposed to enjoy it. It wasn't supposed to be comfortable. It was supposed to be difficult. It was supposed to be an undesirable situation. It was supposed to be hot during the day and cold at night. The ground was supposed to be hard. They were supposed to get hungry and supposed to get thirsty. God said He suffered them to hunger. He put them in a position where at times they would get hungry. He put them in position where at times they would get thirsty. He put them in positions where they would have to depend on Him for every single little thing, for the food they ate every day. They had to depend on Him. They couldn't even store it up for a couple of days because if they stored it up ahead of time, it would get worms in it. They had to trust Him for every day's provision, but it was supposed to be temporary. They were supposed to hate the wilderness. They were supposed to find it undesirable. They were supposed to hate being surrounded by deadly poisonous snakes and scorpions. Why? Because God intended for it to be a temporary inconvenience. He wanted them to hate the wilderness so much that when He presented them with their promised land, my God, when He said, look, here's the land that I promised you, here's the grapes, here's the provision, here's the inheritance, He wanted them to look at the wilderness and He wanted them to look at the promised land and He wanted them to say, no problem, promised land. Oh! That's what He wanted. He wanted them to run into their promised land. He wanted them to run out of the wilderness. He wanted them to hate those conditions. He wanted them to love Him, but hate the conditions. Oh, shatamakaya. Oh, the problem was they got adjusted to a wilderness mentality. Yeah. You'd have thought that when they were at the border of their inheritance that God had spoken about and prophesied and painted beautiful pictures of and told them about houses that they didn't build and vineyards that they didn't plant and told them about all these riches and a land flowing with milk and honey, that when we got there they'd be so excited about it and hate the wilderness so much that they would leap into their promised land. But the problem was they got adjusted to a wilderness mentality. They got comfortable just scraping by. They got satisfied with just enough. You know, they cried out to God when they were in Egypt. They said, God, this is never enough. We are going to bed hungry. We're waking up hungry. We don't have enough money to pay our bills. We're always in a struggle. We're always in a warfare. We're always coming up short. We never have enough. And then God brought them out. He brought them out into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, He provided for them every single day. And every single day, He gave them just enough. But it was never His plan that they would be settled and comfortable and satisfied in the place of just enough. God gave them manna from heaven. God gave them water from the rock. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. But that was just provision for the journey. Are you understanding? That was supposed to transition them from the wilderness of just enough to the promised land of more than enough. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him it's just a temporary inconvenience. I'm not getting stuck here. Come on, tell him I'm not getting stuck here. Yeah, God's been good to me. Yeah, he's helped me get by. Yeah, he's helped me pay my bills. Yeah, he's helped me have just enough. Yeah, I've made it. I've had just enough food to eat. I've had just enough money to pay that bill. I've had just enough money to do my laundry. I had just enough money to catch a ride. I had just enough money to go down to the convenience store and get me a pop. I had just enough money to get baby food for my babies. But bless God, I'm not staying here. I thank God he's been good to me. He's been a good God. He's blessed me. He's helped me. He's gave me just enough. My clothes, they may not look like your clothes, but they've held up. He helped my clothes. They got supernatural holding power. Yeah, God helped me because I didn't have enough money to get the kind of clothes you're wearing. But you know what? I am leaving the land of just enough. I ain't planning to stay here. Yeah, I thank God that he brought me out of the land of never enough. And I thank him that he brought me to the land of just enough. But I ain't staying in the land of just enough because God has promised me a land of more than enough. More than enough money to pay my light bill. More than enough money to put gas in my car. I'll put gas in your car. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll gas you up. I'll help you out. I ain't always going to be the one with my hand out. Come on. I ain't always going to be the one saying I need a ride. I'm not always going to be the one saying, can I borrow your washer? Can I borrow your dryer? I ain't always going to be the one. Look at your neighbor, tell him I ain't always going to be the one. I'm getting ready to be blessed. Yeah, we are. Whoa, Paul said, our light affliction. Paul, have you been at my house? Our light affliction. I'm thinking, Paul, have you been in the real world? But see, you got to read Paul's history. This man knew what affliction was about. This man knew what it was to be beaten. He knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to be stoned to death and be raised from the dead. He knew what it was to be without food because he wanted to fast and without food because he had to fast. He knew. And so when Paul says, our light affliction, he must have been comparing it with Jesus' suffering. Because when you compare your affliction, I know it's bad. When you compare your problem, and I know it's bad. When you compare the struggle that you've been going through, and I know it's tough. But it doesn't compare to what Jesus went through for you and for me. And so Paul says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Sometimes you hear people talk about midnight. You know, midnight's a critical hour. It's a critical time. You know, that more people die at midnight than any other time. It's the time when it can go either way. It was at midnight that Paul and Silas turned their pain into praise. You see, they had the option. They could have went into pity, or they could go into praise. And they were at that deciding hour. They were at the midnight hour. And at the midnight hour, it can go either way. They could have leaned over just a little bit and said, oh, Paul, yell Silas. Oh, I didn't know I was going to have to be treated like this when I signed on with Jesus. Oh, Paul, what Silas? I didn't know that I was going to have to do without sometimes when I signed on for Jesus. I didn't know people were going to talk about me and people were going to lie on me. I didn't know I was going to have to suffer betrayal. I didn't know I was going to have to be beaten. I didn't know I was going to be persecuted. I didn't know that. And it could have went that way real easy. But instead, it started going the other way. And Paul said, you know what, Silas? And Silas said, what, Brother Paul? He said, I feel a song coming on. I feel a song coming on. You say, you feel like singing? Well, not physically, but way down deep inside. I just feel that God has been so good to me. I just got to praise Him. I just got to thank Him. And he just started praising Him. And it wasn't a silent praise. It wasn't the kind of praise that some people say, well, I just praise Him down in my heart. The Bible said the prisoners heard them. I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear you praising God in your midnight hour. Somebody needs you to hear you praising God when you're going through hell. Somebody needs to hear you praising God when you've been persecuted, when you've been lied on, when you've been stole from. Somebody needs to hear you praising God when all hell is breaking loose. Anybody can praise God when the battle's over. Anybody can praise God when they've already come through the Red Sea. That ain't real praise. I'm telling you, that ain't real praise. Real praise is when you're going through hell and you lift up your voice and you say, God, I love you. God, you've been good to me. God, you deserve the praise and the glory. Real praise is when you've got a stack of bills and you don't know how you're going to pay them. But you say, God, you are my source and you are my sufficiency and you are my strength. And I praise you just because you're God. I'm talking about real praise. The midnight hour is critical because it can go either way. Paul and Silas at the midnight hour turned their pain into praise. And it shook the jailhouse off its foundation. You want to shake things up? You praise God in the middle of your midnight hour. I'm telling you, when you praise God, it confuses the devil. When the devil throws things at you that he expected would take you out, and you just go, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. God, you've been good to me. The devil gets all confused, and he said, now, wait a minute. Wasn't that something bad I just done? Wasn't that something bad I just threw at them? They just acting like everything is wonderful. They acting like it's good. I don't understand this. It confuses the devil. How many want to confuse the devil? I don't know about you, but I want to confuse that joker. I want him to be all messed up. Yeah. The good thing I like about midnight is it's gone in 60 seconds. Yeah, hey, woo! In 60 seconds, you can go from pain to praise. In 60 seconds, you can go from the prison to the palace. In 60 seconds, you can go from a servant of the devil to a son of God, not to a servant of the King. In 60 seconds, you can go from darkness to His marvelous light. In 60 seconds, you can go from an old creature to a new creature. In 60 seconds, you can go from weeping to rejoicing, from sick to well, from broke, busted, and disgusted to more than enough. It don't take God long to bless you. Oh, yeah, somebody need to get on your feet right now. Come on, get on your feet right now. And for 60 seconds, or for one minute, praise God. Oh, like you know, it's just a temporary inconvenience. Hey, it's just a temporary inconvenience. Touch somebody and tell them it'll be over in a minute. Come on, touch somebody and tell them it'll be over in a minute. I know it feels like it's been a long night. I know, but it'll be over in a minute. Yeah, Job had some trouble. Job had some pain, but it was only for 9 months of his life, and God gave him double for his trouble. Paul said, our light affliction, it's only a minute. Come on, touch somebody and tell them it'll be over in a minute. It'll be over in a minute. Oh, yeah. Paul said, our light affliction, which is for a moment, it worketh for us. My God, somebody ought to get happy right there. You didn't know that, did you? You thought it was working against you. He said, it worketh for us. The worst the devil has is working for you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's working for you. Oh, man. Hey, when the devil is hitting my finances, it's working for me. When the devil's attacking my body, it's working for me. When they're lying on me, it's working for me. When he's attacking my marriage, it's working for me. With attacking my ministry, it's working for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know the attack that you're going through, but I just want you to turn around and tell somebody, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, come on, look at somebody and tell them it's good for you. Oh, no, you don't believe that. You don't believe that. How can it be good for me? No, 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 maybe not right now. I mean, not right now. I can't say, God, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. Lord, I just enjoy this trial so much. Why don't you send me four more just like them? I can't do that. But see, there's something I know. I know something about what the Word says. And the Word says all things. Somebody say all things. All things work together for the good. For the good. For the good. For the good. Oh! To them who love the Lord. Who are the called according to His purpose. All things. Yeah, it's good for you. It's good for you. Now listen, listen, listen. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't know about you, but I like this. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, you're getting ready. Come on, tell him. I'm going to preach to him. You're getting ready to go from a featherweight to a heavyweight. Yeah! Yeah! That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You're getting ready to go from a featherweight to a heavyweight. You don't put featherweights fighting heavyweight. Heavyweight will knock them out and kill them in one punch. A featherweight come up there and punch on his belly all day long. And that heavyweight will go, pow. It's over. That's unfair. That's an unfair fight. But I come to tell you, yeah. I come to tell you that you're getting ready to go from a featherweight to a heavyweight. Yeah. Look at your neighbor, tell him a heavyweight. Yeah, your punches are going to carry some weight. Your prayers are going to carry some weight. When you speak the name of Jesus, it's going to carry some weight. When you open your mouth and start praising God, there's going to be some weight behind it. Oh, I'm going to a heavyweight. Heavyweight. Yeah, I might have started out in this thing a lightweight. I might have come into this thing a featherweight. I might have come into this thing and my punches didn't carry much power. My prayer didn't carry much power. It didn't carry much power when I opened my mouth and praised God. But now I've been through something. Now I've been through something. Now I've seen God move when there wasn't any other way. Now I've seen God step on the scene and make a way where there seemed to be no way. Now I've seen God turn darkness into light. Now I've seen God destroy the power of the enemy. And you know what? My prayer has some weight behind it now. My praise has some weight behind it now. When I speak the name of Jesus, it has some weight behind it now, because that name has pulled me out. That name has delivered me. That name has kept my mind. Oh, when I was about to lose my mind, I began to say, Jesus, 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 and He kept my mind. Oh. Okay, I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. Okay, tell somebody I don't want you to, you don't want to mess with me. Come on, tell. You don't want to mess with me. I ain't no featherweight anymore. Yeah. You don't want to mess with me. Yeah. I know how to pray now. Yeah. I know how to pray now. When I started in this thing, I didn't really know how to pray. I just like, oh, Lord, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And that was good. I mean, God was good to me. But I know how to pray now. I know how to pray specific prayers. I know how to pray pointed prayers. I know how to pray prayers that get to the throne. I know how to pray prayers that get through the adversity and get through the obscurity and get through the attack. I know how to pray now. I know how to praise now. You see, I know how to put my praise on. I know how to praise Him when I don't feel nothing. I know how to praise Him when I don't see nothing working right. I know how to praise Him. I learned how to put my garment of praise on. I don't wait until everything is just perfect. I learned how to praise Him. I know how to stand on the Word now. I know how to rebuke the devil now. I know how to sing in the midnight hour. I know how. I know how. Yeah, while we look not. Look not. Touch somebody, say, don't be looking at that. Don't be looking at that. Don't be looking at that. Look means to consider, think on, contemplate, regard, observe, set your attention on. You see, I know the giants are there. I didn't come out here and tell you there ain't no such things as giants, ain't no such things as devils, ain't no such things as problems, ain't no such things as trials. I didn't come out and tell you that. I know they're there. I know we're living in a real world and we got real problems and real devils. But I choose not to look at them. Yeah, I know the giants are there, but I ain't looking at them. You know, I ain't regarding them anymore. I'm not considering them or observing them. Why? Because I'm regarding and contemplating and considering and observing something else. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Huh? Yeah, you think I'm crazy. The truth is, I'm not looking at the giants because I'm looking at the invisible. Yeah, Mr. Giant, I know you're there. I hear you every once in a while. I feel you every once in a while. But I can't really see you anymore. Because the invisible has become so big, it's blocked you out. We look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporary, but at the things which are not seen, for they are eternal. The invisible, the eternal, the never changing, the unalterable. You can be seated. The unalterable, the indisputable, the immutable, the undeniable, the indefinable, the realities of the eternal, the faith dimension. I got my eyes on the Word. I got my eyes on the Word. Yeah, I'm trying to hurry. My goodness. I'm trying to hurry. You know, I know you're there, devil, but I can't see that sickness anymore. I just can't see it anymore. I just can't see it. It ain't right. I can't see it. It ain't the way it's supposed to be. All I can see is 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes ye were healed. Oh, He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. I just can't see that anymore, devil. I can't see that anymore. All I can see is the Word. I can't see that financial problem anymore. All I can see is my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. I can't see them rebellious kids anymore that make me worry and fret. All I can see is be anxious for nothing, but with all things in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? I can't see me struggling through the wilderness of just enough anymore. All I can see is my God. Everybody say, my God. My God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in me. That's what I'm seeing. See, touch three people right now real quick and tell them, I see something. Come on. No. Like you got to get them out of the way because I see something. I see something. I see something. I said, I see something. I see something. I see something. Come on. I see something. You're trying to block my vision, but I see something. I love you, but I see something. I see something. You see, I see something. I see me blessed. Yeah, I see me, my God, I see me healed. I see my children off of drugs, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel, singing the songs of Zion, doing the work of the Lord. I see me in my new car. Oh, you might not can see it yet. You might not can see it yet. You might see me driving that old jalopy, and you might hear me three blocks away, but I see it. I see it. I see me in my new car. I see me in my new house. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? We got to get a new house now. That car don't go with that house. That house don't go with that car. We got to get a new house. We got to go house shopping. Oh, yeah. Handalabokaya. Yeah, I see. I see it. I see it. I see. I see me in my new anointing. Anybody see yourself in your new anointing? Yeah. Oh, I'm looking good in my new anointing. Yeah, I'm looking good in my new anointing. I see me married to that man of God, a man of character and dignity. I see me married to that woman of God who is chaste and holy and virtuous, who knows how to pray and cook. Oh, yeah, yeah. I see me in that ministry preaching to the multitudes. You see, you just got to excuse me. I got something in my eye. Anybody got something in your eye? You got something in your eye? Oh, I got something in my eye. It's called vision. It's called the eternal. I can't help it if I act crazy. It's just because I'm seeing something. I can't help it if I talk crazy. It's just because I'm seeing something. I'm experiencing a little temporary inconvenience, but it'll be over in a minute, and I know I can make it because I've caught a glimpse of the eternal. I see something. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm almost through. Think you can make it? The things which are seen are temporal, subject to change. Come on, tell somebody, get ready for a change. Get ready for a change. Get ready for a change. Start talking about where you're going instead of where you've been. Oh, I'll listen to you. Yeah, we'll sit down and we'll talk about the difficulties. We'll sit down and we'll talk about the hardships. We'll talk about it because I love you, because I care about you, and because I'm concerned about what you've been through. But after a little while, I want you to stop talking about where you've been. After a little while, I want you to stop talking about all the hardships. After a little while, I want you to stop talking about all the tests and all the lying, all the cheating, and all the stealing. I want you to stop. After a little while, I want you to stop talking about where you've been and start talking about where you're going. Start telling me about what you see. Start telling me about what you believe in God for. Start telling me about what the Word of God has said to you. Start telling me about some vision that God's putting down on the inside of you, because you're getting ready for change. Come on, lift your hands right now and say, Lord, let me see it. Let me see the eternal. Let me see the invisible. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Tell me, come on, stand to your feet and tell him, Lord, let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see it, Lord. Let me see it, God. Let me see the eternal, God. Let me see the eternal in my home. Let me see the eternal in my ministry. Let me see the eternal in my children. Let me see the eternal, the unchangeable, unalterable, undefiable Word of the living God. Let me see me like you see me. Let me see it. Let me see it. I'm not looking at what I used to look at anymore. Tell somebody, I ain't looking there anymore. Come on, I ain't looking there anymore. I ain't looking there anymore. I'm not looking at that anymore. I'm looking at the invisible. Hallelujah. 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 How many understand today? It's just a temporary inconvenience. It's just a temporary inconvenience. While we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary inconveniences. They're temporary. They're temporal. They're subject to change. But you know what changes them? The eternal. You gotta take the eternal. And you take the eternal and you look at the temporal and you say, take that. Yeah. You got to look at the temporal and you got to say, subject to change. Anybody in this house feel some change? Yeah. Oh, I told my wife, it ain't been that long ago, I told my wife, I said, something's getting ready to change. I can feel it. You feel in the atmosphere. Something's getting ready to change. Something's getting ready to change. Something's getting ready to change. I'm seeing myself different. I'm thinking of myself different. I'm hearing different things. I'm seeing different things. I'm seeing greater things. Something's getting ready to change. I want everybody, just come right to the front. If you want to experience the change that God has for your life, I want you to come. You want the change that God has for your life. want you to come right now. Amen, 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 amen. I want you to come. Oh, yeah, yeah. Get ready. Come on, tell somebody, get ready, 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 get ready. Oh, it don't take God long. 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 You know what takes the long time? It's not God, it's us. It's getting in line. It's getting in line. Hallelujah. Oh, look at, you ready? My God, look at this. We're ready for change, aren't we? We're ready for change. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, look at, you know what? The devil's going, oh, man. The devil getting all shaky. The devil's going, look at all them people that believe the word. Oh. See, you didn't come up here because you like my preaching. You come up here because you heard the word. This is God's word to you. It's God's word to me. Come on, lift your hands right now and tell him, Lord, let me see it. Let me see it. Take the scales off my eyes. I want to see it, God. I want to see it, God. I want to see it. 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 Let's start down here. I want to see it. Come on, I'm going to anoint your eyes. I'm going to anoint you to see it in Jesus' name. I felt the Holy Ghost. I come here. I feel the Lord saying that there is definite change coming into your life. This word today, it didn't go over the top of your head. Sometimes it goes over the top of people's head. The Lord told me today, you caught it right in your heart. And he said, you're getting ready to see some things change in a major way. Because you're seeing it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The devil said no. God said yes. The devil said no. God said, watch me. Watch me. You're going to see it. Let me see it. Let me see it. You got to see it.
Change in me. I want to see. I love to see. A change in me. A change in me. I long to see. I long to see. I long to see. I long to see. I want to see. I want to see. Change in me.
Let me tell you something. I feel there's a real hunger in your heart for the Lord. Same time, there's a real hunger in your heart for the Lord. I hear you saying, Lord, I want to see it. But it's just hard. It's just hard. And I hear you saying in my heart, Lord, if I could see it, I could walk it out. If I could see it, I wouldn't be having so much trouble. That's my problem, Lord. I'm having trouble seeing it. I believe you. I love you. But I'm having trouble seeing it. And that's what the Lord says. He's going to give you the ability to see it in the Word. See the eternal in the Word. See yourself in the Word.